It was a big match this past weekend for you fans of soccer or football if you're from anywhere else on the planet. Manchester City took down Arsenal, but the big story was that the game was pulled from Chinese state television because Arsenal's Mesut Ozil had tweeted criticism of China's treatment of Muslim Uyghurs. Human rights groups estimate that 1 million Uyghurs are being detained unlawfully in Western China. The story, sports figures tweeting political opinion about China, may sound familiar to basketball fans. Not so long ago, the general manager of the Houston Rockets tweeted support for Hong Kong protesters and also faced backlash. Jeremy Goldcorn follows all of this. He's the editor-in-chief of Sup China News and co-host of the Seneca podcast.
So far, it seems that the backlash is less intense. And I would attribute this to the fact that it's much more difficult to find a target to focus your rage on in this case, because instead of a single American team, the Houston Rockets, at a time when there's a great deal of tension between the United States and China, instead of that, you have a Turkish-German player in an English league. Who exactly are you going to boycott? Is it Arsenal? Is it the Premier League? Is it all European football? So perhaps that's got something to do with it.
Ozil's team, Arsenal, they were very quick to say that his comments were his personal beliefs, did not represent the team, which kind of seems to be the common response when incidents like this happen. Explain the calculus here on the part of Arsenal.
Arsenal has a big business. They have a lot of fans. Their matches are watched by hundreds of millions of people. They sell merchandise. So just like the NBA, they see a threat to their business and they made an immediate statement. They didn't at least go to the extent of condemning him, but they sort of left him, you know, hanging dry. They certainly didn't stand up for any principles, but that perhaps is a little too much to expect.
And that calculus isn't unique to sports teams in China, right?
One story our website recently did was a compilation of all the foreign companies that have had to apologize to China or change their websites or do something because they have annoyed the Chinese government, or when the Chinese government's favorite terminology hurt the feelings of the Chinese people. So this is a very common issue for companies that have business in China. If you publicly are caught saying something that in the Chinese context is politically incorrect or, you know, unacceptable to the Communist Party, there will be business consequences. So companies proactively censor. It is a matter of great concern to any company.
How big is the market for soccer in China, and how does that compare to NBA basketball?
Both are enormous. It's difficult to know the exact numbers, but you tend to see around 500 million people for NBA and north of 500 million people for soccer. Soccer happens to be a sport that Xi Jinping has publicly expressed support for, and there's an idea that one of his aims is to have China win the World Cup.
So, Jeremy, we've now seen China establishing this pattern. These sports franchises from abroad adored in China. They have one voice that speaks its mind. China doesn't like what they hear and then censors the team's game. How long can they keep doing this?
That's a great question. You know, at some point, you've got to wonder, is there going to be any foreign sport left to watch at all on Chinese TV? This, I think, is something we're going to face in the coming decade. And it's one of many, many types of conflicts that the world is going to be having with China, where the Chinese government doesn't like the way the rest of the world tells a certain story. And this is going to have consequences for businesses, for diplomacy, for everybody. We won't really be able to get away from the sensitivities of the Chinese Communist Party.
Jeremy Goldcorn, editor-in-chief of Sup China News and co-host of the Seneca podcast. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Marco.